lesson there for you. Sometimes we look at life like a roll of the dice, don't we? We often say things such as, good luck, or chances are it'll never happen. We say things like that. But when we say those kinds of things, do we really mean what we're saying? You see, that's what the secular world says. That's what pagans say. That's what people who don't believe in a providential God say. And sometimes we do that just because it's habit. We do that for many reasons. We use that kind of language. But do we really mean what we're saying? Because if we do, we really don't have a firm grip on the biblical doctrine of God's providence. You see, the Bible clearly teaches us God not only has control of the big things in life like storms, elections, wars, and those kinds of things, but He also has control of the little things in life as well. And also everything in between, even a wedding and church family, hear me, even something as small as the roll of the dice. God is in control. Write this down. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33 says this, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." You see, rolling the dice is what we would say the modern equivalent of the ancient Near Eastern practice of casting lots. The outcome of rolling dice seems to have a totally random kind of result. But this just simply isn't so, according to what I just read to you in God's Word. The results of casting the lot, or the results of rolling the dice, are exactly as the Lord ordains them to be. God controls everything when it comes to casting the lot or rolling the dice. Have you ever sat down and considered all the things that take place when a person rolls the dice? You see, the Lord is in control of the person's arm when he rolls that dice or when she rolls that dice. He works His will through the amount of frictional force when the dice hit the surface of the table or whatever surface they hit. He controls that frictional force. He controls the slightest of the wind's resistance against those dice. I don't know if you've ever considered this, but when you roll the dice, it has to break through billions and billions of oxygen atoms to get to where it's going. And God's in control of those oxygen atoms. You see, He takes into account the amount of oxygen that's in the air. He takes into account the amount of water vapor that's in the air. He takes into account humidity, the force of humidity. Every molecule, every atom, all those things, the person's arm, are subject to the counsel of His will in accomplishing the outcome of the dice. You see, dice don't stop by chance. In big things and in small things and in everything in between, God is providentially in control. So the next time you play a game that you need dice in, I want you to remember Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You know, Dr. R.C. Sproul is one of my favorite theologians. I got to meet him one time and got his autograph in one of his books. And this is what he says. "There is not one maverick molecule in all creation operating outside the sovereign control and direction of the Lord," end quote. Now you think about it. If there was one tiny thing, something as small as a subatomic molecule, one thing outside the control of God, the cascading effect would change everything. But even if we look at life like the roll of the dice, isn't it good to know its every outcome is from the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. Even though Abraham didn't cast the lot when finding Isaac a wife, God was providentially at work in the whole entire process from beginning to end. This truth becomes apparently clear in Genesis chapter 24. And I'm going to lay that out for you as I have already. But God was concerned about the everyday affairs of Abraham's life, even in finding his son Isaac a wife named Rebekah from the folks back home. Well, we've learned about three of God's providential gifts so far. So let me remind you of those. In point number one, we see three of the providential gifts we've looked at. First, God's providential gift, we should see it as a gift, being well advanced in years as Abraham was. Secondly, his providential gift of blessing. He blessed Abraham immensely. Every blessing we have is from the Lord. And then the third providential gift that we have here is his all-encompassing authority. He is most certainly the God of heaven and God of the earth. And I'm thankful that I can tell you that, and it's true. So let's look at the fourth of these gifts of God's providence this morning. His gift, the next gift of providence that we look at, is his gift of a faithful servant. We might say his gift of faithful friends or faithful co-workers. So, number four here, God's providential gift, a faithful servant. Now look at the second part of verse 2 in Genesis chapter 24, and then we're going to jump down to verse 9 in Genesis chapter 24. And these two verses bookend one another. So the Bible says, "And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had," most certainly he was a man who blessed Abraham, "put your hand under my thigh." In verse 9, "So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter." That is, the matter of finding Isaac a wife back home in Ur of the Chaldeans from their people. So now let's begin with a few questions, though. I hope these questions pique your curiosity here when it comes to this point, God's providential gift of a faithful servant. So let's begin with a few questions that we may not generally think to ask when it comes to God placing people in our lives to accomplish his sovereign plan through us. So the first question is this: how old was this faithful servant? How old was he? Well, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that he was the oldest of all of Abraham's servants in his household. Evidently, this servant had been with Abraham for a long, long time, and they had developed a close personal relationship, a trusting relationship between the two of them. Now, when did this servant begin working in Abraham's household? Was it when he was a boy that he started working in Abraham's household? Was he a teenager? Was he a young adult? How old was he? We don't know. But we do know that he was the oldest of Abraham's servants in his household. Where did this servant come from? Where did he hail from? Did he come from back home? Did he come from the Canaanites? Where did he come from? We just don't know that answer. We don't know many answers to the identity of this faithful servant. But here's what we do know. Somewhere he was born by God's sovereign providence. Somewhere along the way in his life, he became Abraham's servant. Somewhere along that time when he was serving Abraham, his character was tested and he was found to be trustworthy. And I don't want you to miss this. We'll come to this. But this servant was also a man who believed in the God of Abraham and who was a man of prayer and a man of faith in God. And here's the thing, none of that was by accident. It was all by God's design, his providential design. He was the oldest servant and the one who had charge over all that Abraham had been blessed with, all that God had given him. He was born for such a time as this, for such a purpose as this, and that was to find Isaac a wife named Rebecca from back home. That's the purpose that God had for his whole life, I do believe. But, you know, it wasn't just finding a wife for Isaac. I think we need to think of this in a broader context. Although it was true, that was what God had placed him there to do. But here's the thing. It was that he was a part of God's providential plan to fulfill the promises of God to Abraham. Now, did you hear that? This servant, being a servant to Abraham, a faithful servant, a man of prayer, he was placed on this earth to be a part of God's providential plans to fulfill God's promise to Abraham. That's not a small thing. That's a big thing. That's a wonderful thing. I wonder if he really realized just how important his relationship with Abraham was. I wonder if he really realized the significant part this servant would play in bringing about the Messiah into the world generations and generations later. You see, this man didn't play a small part in God's wonderful sovereign will to bring about salvation through Jesus Christ for all those who would place his faith in him. It's a wonderful story, is it not? His life was much more than being Abraham's servant. He was a servant of the God Most High. No matter where we're at, no matter what job we may have, no matter who is our boss, God can use us to accomplish his sovereign will for the redemption of sinners. And I'm so thankful for that. Dr. Roop puts it this way. This nameless servant is the quiet hero of the story. Have you ever thought about yourself in that light? That just maybe you're the quiet hero of the story. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And just maybe you're meant to be the quiet hero behind the scenes. And what we should understand here is that this servant, this quiet hero behind the scenes, plays just a critical role in accomplishing God's sovereign will as Father Abraham. They were both men of faith. And Dr. Longman puts it this way. When speaking about the significance of the oath-taking, this is what Dr. Longman says. And I'm just going to read what he says because it's... And I'm going to keep my head down while I do. So what we're getting at here is the significance of the oath taking that Abraham had this nameless servant do. The thigh is a euphemism for Abraham's private parts, which of course is the repository of his seed and thus a sacred part of the body. You see, the oath taking is a part of God's providential plan to bring about the promise of family as numerous as the sand upon the seashore. This was all a part of God's providential plan. It wasn't by mistake. The willingness of this nameless hero to take this oath is also a part of God's providential plan to fulfill his promises to Abraham and to find Isaac a wife. The only means of this servant to be released from this oath is if Rebekah refuses to marry Isaac and come back to the land of Canaan. That's the only way that this nameless servant could get out of this oath. Now, of course, we've read the end of the story, and although the servant didn't know it then, but we know it now because we know the end and the beginning, that God had already providentially gone before this man of faith and had chosen Rebekah to be Isaac's wife. So God had already providentially taken care of a wife for Isaac. And yet, the oath was still a critical part of God's plan. It wasn't a waste. It was all a part of God's plan. So we'll find out shortly that Rebekah was also a woman of faith in God. Now I want you to notice, if you haven't already, God is involved in the intricate details of our lives. Who He puts in our lives, when He puts them in our lives, for what purpose He places them in our lives. In taking oaths, God is a part of that. God is involved in the intricate details of our lives. Each and every day we get up and put our feet on the floor and walk out of the door. He is all a part of that. He's a part of our lives every day, such as when people move in and out of our lives. God is all a part of that. Now that's significant, because that should make us think differently about the relationships that we have, that God is a part of bringing those people into our lives for His glory. And so that should help us look at people in a different way, that they're important, that they're significant. Pastor Hughes writes this: God is beyond our imaginings because He maintains all of life, involves Himself in all events, and directs all things to their appointed end, while rarely interrupting the natural order of life, such as the oath taking. He goes on to write, "The God of Scripture is not simply a God of miracles who occasionally injects His power into life. He is far greater because He arranges all of life to suit and affect His providence." This makes all of life a miracle. God is over all. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and all-controlling. This is the God of Scripture, and anything less is an idolatrous reduction of our puny imagination. It's by the power of God that He puts people in our lives and takes them out of our lives. Now, if you were in church, I was going to have you to look around and see the many different people that are in this place and realize that they're not just simply members of Liberty Baptist Church, but they are people that God has brought into your lives for a purpose, and therefore they're important because God's working in them just like He's working in you for His sovereign will to take shape and to bring about His ends. So that's what I was going to say. If you were here, look around you. All these people have been providentially placed in your life. They're there by God's divine design. And think of all circumstances that God controlled without you ever knowing it to bring these people into your lives. Now you can look at the folks at home, and it's true for them as well. It's true for just as true for those people that you know at work, or those people that you meet at the gas pump or in Walmart. Our family, our friends, our church family, and I dare say even the enemies that God puts in our lives by His providential will are really His gifts to us. Each person is meant to help you carry out God's plan for your journey of faith. And Dr. Rothwell says this: God's providence operates in extraordinary matters to bring about His plan only if He also controls things in everyday matters, such as in the people He brings into our lives. Proverbs chapter 17:17, write that down. Proverbs 17:17 says this: A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and following says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and following says this, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God providentially and purposefully brought these people into your lives. He's brought you into my life. And you have a part to play in God's plan for my life, just as I have a part to play in God's plan for your life, all for His glory and for our good. So this is what I want you to think. When things are rough between friends, say, I am God's providential gift to you. The people that God places in our lives are His providential gifts. Isn't that a wonderful truth to know from these verses? God had gone before us when we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and there's just no doubt about that. During seminary days, He had placed people in our pathway of whom we didn't know even existed. He placed people in our pathway at just the right time, at just the right place. For example, when we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, we had planned to live in seminary housing. And let's just say it was less than a stellar housing when we got there. We got there. And the road that ran behind the road that the seminary housing was on was Bailey Avenue. And it was uphill. So we unloaded the truck from the uphill part of Bailey Avenue downhill into seminary housing. So, you know, things come down easier than they go up. And so we spent the night there in that seminary housing. And we were a little distraught, needless to say. And we were thinking, is this really where we have to live, and do we really have to live like this? And so we would have, if that was the Lord's will. And so Ronnie and Linda was there with us as we moved in, as Alice and I moved in. They helped us along the way. And so that morning we got up, and we didn't know that God was about to place Oscar and Naomi Franzman in our lives, a retired couple who lived in Louisville, Kentucky, I think, all their lives. They didn't know that we were about to be placed in their life either. But that morning, Alice and I began praying and asking the Lord, Lord, we'll stay here if this is where you want us to stay, but if you could, we would love to move somewhere that's really a whole lot nicer. And so Ronnie and Linda were out walking around, and they walked up South Bailey Avenue past Oscar and Ruth Franzman's house to the house next to them, which belonged to them, and they used it as a rental. Just so happened that day that the people who had been living in that house, who were, I think they were seminary students too, were moving out. And so Ronnie and Linda asked them, can we go inside and can we look at this place? And they did, and they came out, and the people said, you really want to live here. It's really a nice place. And the people who own it are really nice people. And so they went and talked to Ruth and Oscar, Oscar and Ruth Franzman. And lo and behold, they were finishing up praying down there in the seminary housing. And Ronnie and Linda come walking in just as happy as jaybirds. And they said, you got to come and look at this place. It's just right up the road here. These people are moving out. We think you'll really like it. And so we bolted up there and looked at it, and we were like, where do we sign the contract to live here? And just so you know, God works in wonderful ways, even in the intricate details of this whole move. He had those people moving out when we were looking for something different on that day, and Ronnie and Linda were walking past it on that day while we were praying, And so, to make a long story short there, we went and met Ruth and Oscar Fronsman, signed the contract, and I have you know, I think it was $125 cheaper and about 10,000 times nicer than seminary housing. God was working in the details. We didn't know them before that day. Well, God not only worked in that move, but he worked in the next move that Alice and I were going to make. We began having kids, and the place where we were living in, there, Ruth and Oscar's place, began to get a little tight for us. And so we thought, you know, we probably should start looking for somewhere else to live because we just needed more room. And so Alice had her list of things that she prayed for. And so we belonged to a church, Highview Baptist Church, which had a membership of probably, I believe between 5 and 10,000 people, okay? That's the size church we went to. I say that just so you'll know just how wonderful God works in the details. Well, about the time we were wanting to find another place to live, and it had to meet our budget and different things that Alice had prayed about and asked the Lord for. And lo and behold, one Wednesday night, we were at church at Highview, and I believe the church had just gotten out, and this lady by the name of Nancy Walden, for us it was out of the blue, but for God it was all providential, walked up to Alice. She didn't know Alice. Alice didn't know Nancy. And Nancy said to Alice, "Do you know of anyone who needs a house for rent?" Something like that, or a place to live. And Alice was like, "Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. My husband and I are looking for a bigger place to rent." What are the odds, right? Well, Alice and I, Bob and Nancy were getting ready to do a 2-year stint with the IMB, and so they wanted someone to move into their house and live there. And so Alice and I went and looked at the house, and we said, "Where do we sign the contract?" It was fully furnished. It had 3 bedrooms, 2 full baths, I believe, a full basement that was finished, had a 2-car garage, a fenced-in backyard, which was one of the things Alice prayed for, so that Jesse would have somewhere to run. And it had everything and more than we had really anticipated that we would get. And here's the deal. It was well within our budget. We lived there for 2 years. 2 sets of couples that Alice and I didn't know existed. They didn't know we existed. And at the right time, at the right place, in the right moment, God put us all together. Just like he put this faithful servant in Abraham's life. And those people had a part to play in God's providential plan for this young man then to become a preacher. They were all a part of that plan. I don't know if they ever thought about it that way, but that was all of God's work. They were people for such a time as that. Now think of the people that have come into your lives that God has providentially placed there to help you on your journey of faith. You know, that didn't occur by chance. That took place through the providential power of God. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, and don't we? Just like Abraham had this nameless servant to take this oath, that was all a part of the heart of Abraham as he planned his way. And this is what the Bible says, but the Lord establishes his steps. And he does that through the people he places in our lives. Psalm 121 says, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? And my God will supply every need of yours, just as he did Abraham, just as he did this nameless servant, just as he did for Alice and I when in seminary days. He is doing that even today. supplying all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That should be our doxology, church family, as I close this point out. We should give God praise forever and ever for his providential gift of faithful friends that he puts into our lives. That's a wonderful thought, and I hope you can cherish it as you cherish the people whom God has placed in your life for such a time as this. Well, church family, we've learned about four of God's providential gifts. The first is being well advanced in years. The second is just his blessings that he gives us each and every day. His all-encompassing authority to do all that his will desires. And fourthly, a faithful servant, or you could say faithful friends that God has providentially placed into your lives. And I'm so thankful that this message could go out regardless of whether we're here together or we're at home because of inclement weather. I pray that this message has touched your heart and your lives. And, the thing about it is I hope it helps you to cherish the people that God's put into your lives. And because God cherishes you, he loves you, he cares for you, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. I don't doubt that at all. And he carries out that plan and that purpose through the people he places in your lives. So love them. Love them. Don't stay mad at them long if you're angry with them. Make up quick and be full of forgiveness. Well, I'm going to close out now with a prayer. Continue to pray for our nation. Continue to pray for our church family. We could stand some good growth this year. We need to grow thick and deep this year. Pray that God will providentially bring new members into our church family. Pray for those who are sick in our church family. Pray that God keeps those who are healthy, healthy. And pray for our leadership in our nation and in our state and in our county. Pray for all of them. If you need me, just give me a call. My number is 336-803-0022, and I'll do my best to help you out in any way that I can. Love you, church family. I'm so thankful that God has brought you into my life and has allowed me to be your pastor these many years. Alice and I truly love you all and care for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the people that you have sovereignly and providentially brought into our lives, whether it's our spouses, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, or even grandbabies. We thank you, Lord. Or the people here in our church family, God, we thank you for bringing them into our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, for he is the friend that sticks closer to us than a brother, and we thank you for him. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that birthed us again, that when we heard the gospel, we believed that we were sinners, and we believed that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and we placed our faith in him for the forgiveness of our sins, and have now been adopted into your family and are your disciples, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for opening up an eternity of wonderful blessings to us through the shed blood of your Son, his death, burial, and his resurrection, and through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, creating new life in dead sinners. Thank you, Father. And Father, we just pray now that you would go before us and help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do, and all that we think, and all that we say. And Lord, I just pray your richest blessings upon the members of this local body of believers known as Liberty Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.